All right, Howard, would you like to say a little something about Dennison?
Does anything need more be said about contender skin? It's available.
Robert?
He is? Oh, I'll let me do that.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
He's going to take orders today here.
Yeah. I'm not. Bert Payne will. I never touch.
Okay.
I never commercialize. I don't want to sell anything. I want to give it away. So my wife won't let me.
Dick Smith is going to write the documentation for Contender Skin, so I'll just give you a brief overview of it. When you enter the horses, you can enter whatever you want. You're only going to get five. And you get three sorts. The first sort is called the contention factor. Right? It's one that we found that works pretty well. And they'll just be ranked by order of priority. The one with the best contention factor is going to be on top. The second best below him, and so on for the first five horses. The next sort you get will be the so-called dream race, first, second, and third fractions. The fastest of each of the three fractions will be printed first, regardless of whatever horse generated that. And then they will be ranked, the next five horses, by the fastest first fraction. The one with the best first fraction will be on top, second best second, and so on for five horses. And then you can do your matchups on the three fractions to this arbitrary dream race. The third sort, you have a choice here. If you answer the question yes to APVs, it will include APVs. It will be ranked. The one with the highest APV will be on top, second highest, and third, and so forth for the top five, along with the percent early. You guys are using UltraScan or Phase 3. The percentage early, you'd like to know if that fits the track profile. If you say no to APVs, you will just get percentage early on that third sort. So it's up to you. If you use APVs, you'll get them. If you don't, you won't. That's it. The reason for including the APVs in this sort, you might have five horses printed on the contention factor. Let's say you put in 10. And the same five may or may not appear in the second sort where you have the fractions. And again, the same five may not be in the APV and percentage over for now. Particularly with the last one, with the APVs, if you've done them, you have the top five APV horses, and he's not in the top five of your contention factor. You might have to go back and take another look at this horse. How come he didn't qualify on the contention factor? Did I pick the wrong pace line? It's just a red flag. That's one of the uses of this tender scan program. Relatively simple. And it doesn't matter whether you're using Phase 3 or UltraScan. Whatever method you're using, then just take, once you've arrived at these five horses that you're going to use, just put them in your normal program, UltraScan or Phase 3, either one. Okay, now it's in Dinner Scan.
Dinner Scan is it was designed to help you get the contenders, but our pros here decided to use it as the be-all and end-all for handicapping. They don't need anything else but that, usually. When they merge it with whichever program they're using, it merely gives them the ultra readouts or the Phase 3 readouts as they desire, and they get it all in one program. But we don't want you to have that sophisticated a version yet, because it's a shortcut without letting you know how you got it. The object of Contender Scan initially is for you to get those five contenders.
Let me say why, particularly in Phase 3. I'm not sure about UltraScan, but the reason for not doing that in Phase 3 is it tends to put horses together, equalize them. And if you're not keeping a Brohammer model, you're going to get killed. The horses will have to fit the model. And you'll need to know that. So you have to get into that before you get into putting everything all in one program. It will become crucial for you to keep using Phase 3, a Brohammer model.
Even more important than UltraScan, really. The Brohammer model is absolutely essential.
till after we sell the book. We ordered 500 copies from the printer. Tom has taken this. You thought Gone with the Wind took a long time to make. Roll Number is written for over a year. It's finally done, and it's well worth the money. We haven't charged for it yet. Believe me, if you learn how to make a Brohammer model, remember the line scores in the Yellow Manual?
Yeah.
The line scores are a generic Brohammer model. They're universal Brohammer models that said you could use 3, 2, 1 in any order, and you had to determine which order was the best at your track. Well, the Brohammer model specifies those line scores so that you can often eliminate your top two or even top three horses on their numerical rankings and go to the ones that are fourth or fifth when they and they alone fit that win model at your track. And it is the gateway to long shots, and it is the gateway to 80% winners. Tom does 80%. He doesn't play many races because he will only play a model fit. But when he plays it, he almost always wins it. He wins so often that when he doesn't win, he can't even believe it. He goes into deep depression.
He's such a wimp. He cries like a baby.
Is that on tape, Joe?
You want a copy?
That's for you, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Nice fishing trip?
That'll teach him to go fishing when we're over here.
We can erase it easy.
Oh, no, we want him to hear.
We check ourselves as much as we ask you to check yourselves. And we got a call here from a man in Los Angeles who said, hey, what do you do about these races where you got two or three of your top contenders just came out of the same race, and your damn fool program predicts them as coming in the same order that they came in last time, and they never do? Well, that opened up a beautiful can of worms for us. So I asked every one of the charter members and a selected group of near charter members or provisional teaching members to check their losses. Go back, and they all keep pretty good records. Go back over a couple of hundred races and check every one of your losses and see if how many of them came out of a tandem race. A tandem race, quite simply defined, is where two or more of the top contenders in today's race came out of the same race. A perfect tandem race is where the winner of that race is in today's race. A near perfect tandem is when the second, third, and or fourth place is also in today's race. Any of those qualify as a tandem race. The word tandem means following in successive order, one behind the other. It turned out, after this survey was concluded, that 68%, remember I told you 68.6% of anything constituted a norm? Well, it worked out exactly that way. 68% of all of our losers came out of tandem races. So what did we do? We examined the great myth. Now, what is the great myth? I've read it in many handicapping books by experts, is that if horse A can beat horse B on October 13th, then horse A can beat horse B again next October 13th. What we found out was the direct reverse was true. That the horse who won the tandem race year in, year out, racetrack after racetrack, demonstrated a capacity to win again in the same tandem only 8% of the time. And that 8% of the time was when that winner was the only one in the tandem who met the wind energy requirements of the race. So the tandem race concept was born, and we told people that when the horses out of the tandem came, that the horse, all horses in the tandem within 4.5 lengths, you could A, go back to a better race for that horse other than the tandem race, or what we have not put in that manual yet and will come into the addenda to that manual is give all the horses in the tandem the same final beaten lengths. If a best horse of the tandem is in your race today, finished second by 2, put all the other horses from that tandem with 2 beaten lengths in the final and let their early late energy be the deciding factor of which of the 10 of horses will win today. We found tandem races, and Bradshaw found tandems within tandems and secondary tandems, and started using the tandem horse almost exclusively as his handicapping procedure. We don't expect to go into the tandem race too thoroughly, but I know a lot of you say, well, you keep talking tandem. What's that tandem? That's what a tandem race is. A tandem race would probably cost you without really knowing it, because once, till you start looking for a tandem race, you don't realize how many there are. When we first did the stat, there were about 2.5 per day at each track, and now it's up to 3-something. As year-round racing increases, horses start going up the claiming ladder together and down together, and they more and more get grouped together, and the tandem becomes something you see in almost every race. Sometimes you'll see two tandems. The beauty of the tandem is that there are four horses that came out of the tandem race, and there are 9 contenders. All 4 of those can be clustered over here in one group. Now you've only got 5 to look at. First thing you look at is there's some horse outside of that tandem who can beat the entire tandem. Then you might even find a second tandem. So you've got the race down to 2 tandem contenders. It becomes a very simple thing then to win a tandem race. The thing, the most important thing is, and Michael discovered this, almost like it was a whole new awakening for him. So I'll let him tell you his observations. Why did all the guys walk out when you're going to give a speech?
They may learn something. There, when I really first began really discovering, Howard would never send me a tandem manual. So he said it was too advanced for me. So I finally stole one from Bert Maines, stealing from a reverend in No Pride, last seminar. And it really opened my eyes, and I went back and redid a lot of the races that I had missed, a lot of those, the 25% of misses, and very often they would be a tandem race. I would say that of all of the tools in the methodology, the one that will get you the most long-priced horses and the most just sheer satisfaction of predicting an upset in a race or going against the conventional, you know, you can hear after one of these tandem reversals happen the rustling of papers, as Jeff was talking about before, and people saying, I don't understand it, this horse beat this horse last time, now all of a sudden this horse beats this time. And it's a phenomenon of horse racing. One explanation that I've heard Howard talk about is that when a horse beats, horse A beats horse B, the owner and the trainer of horse A, when they're running against horse B again, figure, well, heck, we did it last time, we'll do it the same way again this time. Whereas the owner and trainer of horse B will be plotting and scheming and studying of how to beat horse A this time. So horse B may be more likely to beat horse A the second time that they meet. It's not the kind of thing we could do in 5 minutes. If you don't have a tandem manual, just get one. It's an incredibly valuable tool. There's a good example of a tandem race in my day at the races in the back. I think it's the 5th or 6th race. The horse is called Tri-Argo. Do you want to take a look at that? It's on... This is a classic, a really classical tandem race. If you look at page 142, this is from the 5th race at Belmont. And you'll notice that on the right side of the page there are the past performances for 3 horses, Smoke the Queen, Tri-Argo, and Dom Gree. And that's 142. Yeah, 142. Right? You notice that Smoke the Queen won that last race, and he was disqualified, but in any event, he crossed the finish line first. If you look across on there, you'll see the horse named Dom Gree finished 3rd. Well, lo and behold, Dom Gree appears in this race, and Tri-Argo also appears in this race, the horse that finished 4th. Now, that's what we refer to as a tandem race, where you have the winner of the race in the race, and then at least one, and preferably 2 or 3, of the other contenders in the race, the other horses that ran close up to the horse, maybe within 4 lengths, let's say, that are in the race. Smoke the Queen, or any horse that wins a tandem, will repeat over the other contenders in the tandem only 8% of the time, and then only under exceptional circumstances. So going back on the other horses to better pace lines projects the order of finish. And if you just say, turn the page and look on page 144, you can look at whichever you want to look at. Contender scan, I guess, is a nice little touch because it projects Triargo to win the race, Courageous second, and Smoke the Queen third, which is a complete reversal of that tandem. In other words, Smoke the Queen beat Triargo very well last time. That's indeed the way they finished, Triargo winning the race and paying 25.40 and reversing the tandem. If you just go ahead and use the last pace line on each of those horses, you're going to project them once again in the same order that they finished. But armed with the tandem concept, you not only predict the reversal, but also get a very nice priced horse.
And if you use Jimmy's secondary method and use the same beaten lengths for every horse in the tandem as the winner, then you see the Triargo is going to win without even putting it through the computer.
That's right.
You don't throw the winner out for plays. And don't be surprised when Elton Smith did this in he plays Exarvin. He went for 178 tandem races over a year and never lost one to the repeat winner. In the period of 4 days, all 8% came in. But we were there for two of them, and we predicted that the two tandems would repeat the 2 days we were there at Exarvin, because they were the only one of the tandem who fit today's wind energy profile. The others did not fit it, and that's the reason why two of those eight that he encountered. So it's going to happen. They're going to repeat, and you're going to get nipped once in a while. But better to get nipped 8% of the time than to have them comprise 68% of all your losses.
Now, if after your valiant efforts to reverse the tandem, either by going back on the horse or using the secondary method, which Jim's method of putting in the final beaten lengths of the winner of the tandem, if they still projected that the winner of the tandem wins and the winner of the tandem exhibits the same exact energy percentage as is winning currently at the track, that's that 8% when they win. It's rare that that will come up, and it's rare that they will repeat.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be within 4.5
lengths. Within 4.5
lengths. Let me tell you something else. This is an excellent way to help you get your contenders, because sometimes you will find a double tandem. And if one tandem is better than the other tandem, you can eliminate the complete tandem. I've also found out in going back that for the tandem to really work and really nail the horse, is that they should be running the same distance today that they were running in the last tandem race. If not, that's how my princess, they go back and take her from, I believe it was my princess that Bert had, took her from the internal fraction. She was from a tandem race, but this tandem race qualified these two horses, and they were going different distances today than they did on their tandem concept. She wouldn't have qualified under the original tandem concept, but under a new distance today rather than the tandem race, the horses, they would both qualify.
Also, that guideline that we're mentioning, within 4.5 lengths, that's provided that the horse does not have a valid excuse for not finishing within 4.5 lengths. And those horses can sometimes be considered.
Now, you don't never make a draw at 4.5 lengths if at 4.75 it's a perfect fit. You know, you've got to use a little judgment always on these guidelines.
Sir?
If you could you spend just a minute or so on page 144? Now, I don't need the computer run out for summation, but can you tell me, like, you got turn here, you got percent early energy, is that what that is?
That's it. Okay, when we get to the interpretation, which is, what, two segments away, we're going to go through every one of these types of things. Sir?
Actual question I asked this morning that you asked me to defer. On page 72, the race we discussed at great length. Quick question. why, given that Turnpike Princess and Frisco Delight are classic candidates, did you not use a race other than the July 9th race for Turnpike Princess? Is it just because that's the best race to the horse shows, or is there some other reason?
Well, that's the race you'd have to use. It's in within a neck. You're talking about Turnpike and Frisco being within a neck of each other.
Right. If you wanted to be fancy, go back to April 2nd and to his win to try to project him above Frisco Delight this time.
So in other words, the horses have to be close, but not too close.
Well, but there are secondary factors involved here.
There's a very important class factor in that race, Frisco Delight not being up to snuff.
And Frisco Delight's sustained pace rating is what Herman took. See, Belmont, you cannot win at Belmont. You have to be close to the lead at Belmont, but you have to have a good sustained pace. You have to be in the top three or four sustained pace.
We're not talking about a rating. What you're saying now is, after we chose the pace line, certain factors made us choose a horse. I'm talking about why choose a pace line when tandem thinking leads you to select another one for Turnpike Princess. Are they losing?
Not when it's a next. And you're not talking about the winner either. We're saying the winner repeats 8% of the time. We're not talking about those two horses behind the winner. They both got the same beating lengths at the finish. Now you let early and late determine which one of the two you're going to take, and late disqualified Frisco.
Another thing also that Howard might mention, that in the statistics that was carried out in this study, that the third and fourth place horses in the tandem won more than the second place horse. Because especially if the horse was within a nose or a head, because he had exerted all of the energy and maybe came up a little bit sober for the next race.
But I think that's just, it's a call that comes from experience. Now, Bert didn't feel to make the call that you're talking about. On the other hand, I would have probably gone back and turned by Princess and taken a better race for him. So I think that's just a matter of personal preference.
But you don't have to gild the lily when you've got a situation like that. The real reason is early late. And the main thing that the tandem shows you is that the reason the winner doesn't win more than 8% of the time, and then only when it is the perfect energy fit horse, is that these other horses, I was Bubbles, who was a middleweight champion at one time before you were all born. He got so disgusted with his crooked manager, who wasn't an Italian, he was an Irishman. But he asked me, I'd done some hypnosis on athletes, and he was one of them. Because he used to get knocked out before the punch landed, after Archie Moore had knocked him out. His former manager told him, Bobo, you're going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. And and his manager was a crook, so he told Bobo, who was not an intellectual by any means, that Archie Moore could not counterpunch, so that he should weigh in on Archie Moore and just keep his head on his chest and just pound in. Well, of course, Archie loved that. He was the greatest counterpuncher in the world, and Bobo's, So he asked me to be his advisor. My only thing was that I could hypnotize him, and that I was relatively honest and knew absolutely nothing about boxing, which is fine for him because he didn't either. But Bobo taught me a lot. He'd get me on television shows. He was always a guest on a show, and I'd go with him. And he'd have me be Bobo. And he could play Sugar Ray Robinson, Archie Moore. And he'd say, well, here's how he beat me, Howard. He'd say, now you do like this, and I do like this. And he couldn't pull a punch, so he told me fat on the floor. I didn't mean to hurt you, Howard. We're on live television. I have places on my, that's where I had to grow a beard. I got these big scars all over my jaw. But I did learn one thing, working with prize fighters, is that prize fighters watch the films of how they got beat. Bobo knew more about how he got beat than how he ever won. I don't think he remembered winning. There's a long time sometimes between wins. But he knew exactly how he got beat, and he could duplicate it. And I was the witness to this duplication on countless occasions. The same thing exists in horse racing.
If I'm a trainer or a jockey and I'm planning my strategy and I'm going against the horse that beat me last time, I'm going to say, what did I do wrong that horse beat me? Now, boxers, the same way. If they won by getting out of the gate fast and going to the front and holding on for dear life, they're going to do it that same way. If they won by laying four lengths off the pace and making a move around the turn, they're going to try to do exactly the same thing. The winner does not change his style. You go with the gal that brung you, whereas the loser will change its style and try to avoid that which caused it not to win last time. Because we're talking about horses who are up close. Horses that would win usually within four and a half lengths in the top four horses. Just a little maneuver is the difference between losing and winning in that situation. So that's why the tandem concept works so well, not only from a statistical point of view, but from a reality point of view of strategy.
On the finish times of these tandem races, right, you equalize the pace lines.
If you're going to use the tandem race pace lines, then the suggestion is, and it's an adventurous one, what you do is you put in the race as it ran, but in the final beaten lengths you put them all the same. If the best horse you got was beaten by a half, everybody's beaten by a half. If you have the winner, everybody's beaten by zero. And then let the early late factor determine, or use it as it says in the manual, go back to a better race on the ones other than the winner of the tandem.
If you do
it
that way and you come up with a total energy of
0.72
over, would that be a replay?
Oh, no. Only if the only time you play the winner, they're all going to be within point. You can't not be within 0.72 if you're that close.